Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Father. In those days, when I was high school and we call it secondary school, and then to the college days in Nigeria, the technology wasn't there like it is now. So I used to write letters to my dad, and he used to write letters to me. And we communicated by letters. But during the holidays, or when I need to, I must have to, I traveled to meet with him. And when I meet with him, I realize that the letters were good, but now I'm talking to him as a person. It was no more letters. It was a person. And he was able to take me deeper in the letters, what I was trying to explain and what he was trying to communicate. Are clearer and more expressive. When we are in college, there are books that depends on the field that we want to be professionals at, you know, high tech or engineering or nursing. Or there are books that are written about what we want to be. And so we begin this study. And we start going through these books, and the lecturers start training us and teaching us, and we go through seasons of exams and tests, and we go from levels of gradings, and we go to next year, the third year, the fourth year, and we do our final exams, and then we graduate. And after we graduate, they give us a certificate, MSc or BSc or whatever it is in that field, and we take that certificate. Some of us, some fields require you do some internship, some practical, deep practical work, especially if you're in a medical field or pilot or just most fields require a lot of practicals. We do all that. And finally, you're fully graduated. And when you're really graduated, you earn your degrees. Then you begin to apply for a job. And when the people interview you and you go through they say, send your resume. You send your resume and they go through several interviews with you, checking you out. After that, you are given the job. The job they give to you is no more a book. You have become the book. They did not give the job to a book. They gave the job to a person that has become the experience. You don't carry a book in where you're walking and looking at every page and going and looking at every page. They employed a person that has become the degree. And that person is no more reading the book, he's become the book. And now practices that. Now remember, no matter how good you graduate, there's a big difference between the practical life and what you've studied. As you begin to practice, you now become the book. There's a need for you to gain experience. You don't immediately master. You don't immediately say, yes, I've arrived. After all your orientation, you gain experience. Eventually, you come to a place where your experience is so solid that you are promoted. You are now an expert in that job because of experience. If you look at the terminologies used in the Bible to describe the Trinity, you will see that the Trinity is not a book. The book is written about them and how to know them, how to become, how to relate, how to grow with them. If you notice the three names of the Trinity, one is the Father. So for somebody to be a father, it's not a book. It's not a theology. It's a person. For somebody to be a son, Lord of Lords and King of, is a person. The Holy Spirit, the word He is used for Him. He represents the Father and the Son all over the kingdom. So that wherever the Holy Spirit is a manifestation of the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is the governmental body. That's why God is everywhere all the time, 24 hours of the day, because of the work of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter where you are. David says, your spirit is there. He reveals the Father. He reveals the Son. He is the guide, he's the teacher. Is the one that instructs, is the one that executes, the one that does everything. And is the power of God. My brothers and sisters, I've said this, I can remember, but if you were not here when I said it or you don't remember, how long? How do you feel to be in any college, any high school, and you started school when you are in that school, and how long? Have you seen a 20 years old person still? Of course, I'm talking about when you started school. I'm not talking about people that didn't go to school at all. They are old people that didn't go to school. They start from scratch at any age. I'm talking about, say, young child. You are sent to school, and you are in school, in secondary school, elementary school, for 10 years, or 15 years, or 20 years. Or you go to university where you're supposed to graduate after 4 years. We're just talking about normal situation where everything is given to everybody, same. And you're in that school for 20 years. Paul said about this. He says this about the church. He says we are ever learning and not coming to the knowledge of the truth. And then he wrote again, he says, we should leave the principles of the foundation of the gospel. We should grow to eating the meat of the gospel. Of course, we know when you're born again as a born again little baby, it says you feed them with milk. But how many of you sitting here, after 5 years old, you're still drinking milk? I'm not talking about vitamin D milk. We all drink it. I'm talking about milk from your mother's breasts. Have you seen those of you that are mother, your child has grown to 5 years, 5 years, and is still asking for milk? The way it should be given from your breasts? As people grow, they start eating steak, T-bone steak, and all this steak meat. There is a point to graduate. There's a point to leave the basic things of salvation and progress into the reason Christ died, so that your life can count for the kingdom of God. We're not here just to live for ourselves. We're here because people's destiny are tied to our obedience. The reason the Spirit of the Lord is leading me this way is because of what He's put in my heart in some way. There are certain schools, you know, like you all know, especially, there are schools that are known for different things. Some schools, they say, go to that school, they are best in medicine, this school is best in engineering, this school is best in tech, even though they have different tech schools, and they say this school is first in this, they are best in nursing, in that, just, they are specialized, they when you go to that school, you come out, anybody will employ you because of the reputation of that area of the field. I want you to know that Mount Zion, among the churches of the body of Christ, the focus here, and the reason it remains the focus here, is because it's the key that God has given this house. And that focus is to awaken destinies. To awaken destinies. And to awaken people's position in Christ, your identity as the children of God, and the authority and the power that comes with that identity. And a lot of people don't like that because of the three levels of training, the outer court, the holy place. And a lot of people just like to stay on the outer court where they don't want any spiritual responsibility to spiritual growth. Just wants to be out there and just be a member of a church, hide in the crowd, and just get your good degrees, get a good job, get your house, and go from one garage to two garage, have all the children, have all the money, but never understand why you're here. So the training here is not easy for a lot of people. And it can never be compromised. It is for you to be rooted, grounded, founded, established as the children of God who knows their right. People go through trials. We all go through trials. But without this training here, without this revelation, this expression, this impartation, it's not easy. Many just retire to the outer court. And all you do mostly at the outer court is still writing letters to your father, reading letters and him reading letters to you, never knowing the person as your father. How long do we keep reading letters? God is not a letter. He's a father. Jesus is not just a lamb. He's not just the Lion of Judah in letters or the Son. He's a reality. He's a person. The Holy Ghost is not a wind that just comes and blows here and blows revelation into our... He's a person. Christianity is just simply become Christ-like. Become the image and the likeness of him that has adopted you. Not coming every Sunday, every week, and you go to work, you do this, you come back, you struggle, you manage to pray 5 minutes, you just do that chore, and then you go about life without a relationship. People are not comfortable here because they are forced to break the tradition of the comfort of just living out there, pulled closer to God. The whole world is groaning. Meaning they are languishing in pain and growing to see, to experience the sons of God. Somebody that truly, a man or a woman, somebody somewhere in the world is just looking for somebody that can really make them taste the reality of God in their life. Satan just takes pleasure in just holding people out there by the nose, Christians, and dragging them around after you've come out of the world. The purpose of the training and the teaching here is for you to know your right. The devil has no right to run your life. Or else, he died in vain. Nobody will employ you if you didn't graduate, you didn't know what you studied in school. We cannot read this book and be out there and not represent it well. There's a big difference between, see this tree? So beautiful. So nice. But it's fake from the real. So, I just wanted to lay that groundwork so you know where Mount Zion can never compromise. This is a training ground for people who see themselves as people with destiny and purpose. Whether you are a lawyer, you're an engineer, you're a manager, anywhere you are, you know that the training you receive here, you are pastoring the place where you work. Yes. You are a Joseph, you are a light. Yes. You are a Christ representative. Not one of those in that place. I remember I had a neighbor, a young boy, very strong young boy, very strong. He tried to finish high school, he could not, and the opportunity came for him to go to the military. When he was called and he went there, it wasn't long, I saw him, I said, "What are you doing?" He said he did not accept me. And there are others that when they didn't last long, they were sent home. Christianity without the cross is not Christianity. We have left the gospel so wide and broad that people are in church and don't even know what it is to be a Christian. Comfortable in sin, they are comfortable in lying, they are comfortable in faking, they are comfortable in everything. God. God says, Paul says, there is a way to serve God when you truly are a child of God. There's an acceptable way. There is a godly way of serving God. And there is a fearful understanding of who you are serving. And there must be transformation from glory to glory. Amen. Because God so loved us, He gave up everything that He is to us. So we don't have an excuse to be like Him. He gave it all. So it's not by might, it's not by power. It's by His grace. Amen? So, before we go briefly into the things that I want to pray this morning, because we're in a new season. Those of you that have been coming for to understand what a new season is, so I don't want to explain it. We are entering winter now, or fall. That's a new season. Later we enter winter, later we enter spring. That's kind of what seasons means. But we are in a new spiritual season. It does not change things, it's just seasons that will cause us to grow and to be more fruitful. By revelation. So before we pray some of the things into this house, into this our lifestyle, I want to share a few things with us. About this new season. Amen. Do you know there's a scripture that says many are called? How many of you know it? How does it end? Many are called, but what? It's like the military. people want to go to be the military, they want to be in the army, they want to be Navy SEALs, they want to be Marines. But you know what happens. They have a cross to carry. So I want to share with us the mindset of this season. Some of us, our diapers have expired. We have to grow up. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll read a few things in the scripture if I can, but whatever I'm saying, I'm going to try to bring it from my spirit, my heart. Scriptures. We lost something from the days of Adam. Briefly, because that's not the focus, but that's the sign pointer to what the Lord wants me to make you aware of this morning. We lost something. Adam lost it. We lost our identity as God's children. We lost the glory that comes with it in that garden. It was taken away. And then we lost the authority and the dominion that came with it. The power and the authority. All that was lost in the garden. Then the second Adam came, Jesus came. And not only restored that, he not only restored us to become sons and daughters of God again, but he came to give us a brand new spirit, disconnected from when we're born again, from anything that has been polluted that we carry. Born again. So, with that new born again, through his blood, through his word, we are now we inherited sonship back again as children. With the sonship comes the glory again. With the glory comes back the power and the authority, which is dominion. And Jesus simplified it this way to John in Revelations 1. He says, through my blood, when he visited him, we have now been adopted as kings and priests. Very deep word, but just put it in simple. We are now back as God's children through his blood from every nation. And now restoration has taken place. And those two statements refers back to what Adam lost. Identity, the glory, the power, and the dominion, the authority. We lost it. And Jesus restored it. Amen. That restoration begins when we are born again. Amen. So now, I want us to open our Bibles. I want us to read a few things this morning because some of us need to stop using spiritual diapers. It's too long. When the Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight, it's not talking about a large congregation, people just living anyhow. It's talking about one that has understood who they are. Can make a difference than a 1,000-member church. Just partying with the world. So let's open our Bibles first to Jeremiah chapter 1. I'm glad I can see you now. I see your faces. So I know who I'm talking to. Jeremiah chapter 1. It's important you hear this because something has happened these 21 days. And it belongs to you. Whether you're here or not, it's here to stay. It's for you. It's always been. It's inheritance that's given to God's children. Jeremiah chapter 1. The words of Jeremiah, I don't know this microphone is, but you can hear me. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hakir, of the priests that were in Anatol in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. Let's go to verse 4. The word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, in your mother's womb, I knew you. And before thou camest forth, before you were born, before you came forth out of the womb, Eviana is just born. She's probably how many days old now? A few days ago, Lexi was here carrying Eviana in the belly. And today you can see her. So the Bible is telling the truth. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou came forth out of the womb, I set you apart. Amen? I sanctified thee, set apart. A doctor cannot do the work of a pilot. The hand can't do the work of the leg. He says, I set you apart, and then I ordained you. He's now talking about Jeremiah, but it's to every human being. This is an example. I ordained you, Jeremiah, to be a voice to the nation, a prophet, to be my voice. God walks through human beings to release his purpose in the earth. Say, Jeremiah, prophet means you are the voice of God, the human voice, oracle. Listen to this. Then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt what? Speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, says the Lord. Then listen to this. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. My brothers and sisters, if you don't read the Bible, you don't know how God talks. Every child that is born, when they grow up, if Alexis Vienna grows up now, he's going to talk like the parents, the language they understand. How is he going to talk the language? Because that's the language they speak. If you are born again and this Bible, you don't meditate upon it until it gets into your system, you are still talking like the world. Every kingdom has a language. But the Lord said unto me, call not yourself a child. Then verse 9, it says, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, because of this word I put in your mouth, he says, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. Now, these are the things that God does as God. But after he's created man, he now delegated this power and authority for man to oversee this in the earth. But no matter how much authority is given to man and delegated to man, you have to still speak his word. Amen? And you have to pray his word. That's why I say if we pray according to his will, his word, he hears us. Some prayers he says he doesn't hear because we're praying out of our lust, meaning out of our worldly mindset. He says the word of God to Jeremiah rules over the nations, over kingdoms, over people. And he says the word of God has the power to, it's in your Bible, isn't it? It has the power to root out things that you don't like in your life. Things you don't like in your workplace. Things you don't like anywhere. To root out. It has the power to pull down. It has the power to destroy. It has the power to throw down. Then it has the power to build. It has the power to plant. That's what God has delegated to man that represents him through his word. But before Jeremiah could get to this place, listen carefully. Before Jeremiah got to this place, because this is a place of maturity, first, Jeremiah has to understand one purpose, one thing. Jeremiah was told, Jeremiah, you were born for a reason to be in the earth. Jeremiah, you were born and you've been set apart to serve a purpose, God's purpose in the earth. Jeremiah, you've been ordained before you were born to accomplish something on behalf of God in the earth. That's what the Bible says. Everybody that came, God says, I knew you. It doesn't matter how you come. It doesn't matter how the parents, he just said, as long as you came through a womb, just say, I knew you. I have a plan for you. That's why today, it doesn't matter the circumstances about your birth. God can redeem your destiny. I knew you. Now, let's open to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 4, really quick. You all know where Galatians is? Amen. Galatians 4. You remember what we just read in Jeremiah? Huh? Okay. Here's what Galatians says. Let's read from verse 1. Paul is writing to the church. He says, now I say that the heir, everybody say heir. How many of you know what an heir is? Huh? Go ahead. Tell us what an heir is. Sister Sandy.
Someone who inherits.
Someone who inherits. Huh? Huh? Okay. Somebody said like Prince Charles. Okay. Someone who inherits. And inheritance comes by blood, isn't it? Okay. It says, now I say that the heir, the inheritor, as long as he's a child, different nothing from a slave, a servant, even though he is the Lord of all. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, different nothing from a servant, a slave, though he is the Lord of all. Then, everything I've been saying to you before we started this, it says, verse 2. But first he goes under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of this world, but when the fullness of time was come, like we heard today about the bride coming to his fullness, when the fullness of time was come, God sent for his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of what? Sons. And because you are sons or daughters of God, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying what? Father, Father. Abba, Father. Listen to this last verse. Verse 7. Wherefore, you are no more, thou are no more slaves or servants, but a son. Talking about maturity. Now, if you are a son or a daughter that understands their DNA and their maturity, he says, if you are now a son, then you have now manifested who you are as an heir of God through Christ. My brothers and sisters, this scripture changed my life. For today, because of the prayer and time, Paul was a major recipient of the power of religion. Lived in church all his life, was the best religious person, was everything you can imagine as a religious person, excel as a religious person, never knew God. Until he had an encounter with God. And when he had an encounter with God, he started chewing this word. He started seeking, pursuing God, going after God, going through so many things. And God raised him up and made him who he was. From a sinner, a dangerous sinner, to a champion for Christ. So Paul wrote to the Galatian church, he says, what he's saying is here. When we are born again as believers, we are born again with the DNA of God, the power of God, everything of God inside of us as the heirs of God, as the sons of God, as the children of God. But he says there's a problem. We're born again into this earthen vessel. And we're born again into already a mindset that is slave to the culture and the systems and the ways of this world. Before we're born again, all we know is how to be successful in the world culture, how to fight to win world's way, how to go to school, how to do this, how to do that. Everything was designed for the world system. It's not really about school. It's not really about all these things. But still, this culture and the government of the world is driven in that direction. And so when Paul came into the church with it, and no change in the heart, he took the world culture, the world mindset, and just put letters into it, scriptures. And that even drove him more with pride. Became the best religious person, everything, because it was still a mindset where he put the word. It was not a change of heart. So, Paul said, the mindset of this world, whether you're a president, whether you're a cleaner, imagine it's slavery to satanic rulership. You are still running the course of this world. You are still being driven by the systems of this world. You are still limited to the natural world, not to the spiritual world. So Paul says, when I came to realization that I'm born again now, I have to go through a school. Galatians, I went to the school of the Holy Spirit. Just like you go to school with an empty mind from high school, you enter the school to say, okay, I want to be a lawyer, I want to be an engineer, I want to be a tech person. You go through 4 years, whatever you study, you become. Isn't it? You change from studying to becoming somebody. Paul said, I found out that the school of the Word of God is the school of the Spirit. So you have to go to school, and the school now begins to teach you about the kingdom of God. You as a child, Jesus did that for 30 years, you begin to learn, who am I? What's my identity? Who is my father? Who gave birth to me? Jeremiah said, God, why am I here? What is the purpose of this born-again child? What is this? And then you go to school, like you go study engineering. After a while, as you mature, then God begins to teach you the area he wants you to function on behalf of his kingdom. That doesn't limit you to your worldly career. It just makes your worldly career better. That school of the Holy Spirit, the same way you graduate in college and get your certificate, and then before you start working, Paul says there's a graduation. He says the graduation, the first level of graduation is when you finally, he said, when the mindset, he said, you are already an heir, you're already a son, but you don't know it because of the original mindset. He said, but after you go to the school, your first graduation, your first level, BSc, your first level, before you start doing master's and PhD in the spirit, your first level of graduation is to know you are a child of God. You are a son. You are a daughter. Nobody can take it from you. You know it. That's the first level of graduation. How many people are not there? He says that entry point, that level of graduation is the first place you graduate from the school. You now know I am a spiritual being, but I live in a I am born of God. God is my father. And then, as you mature in that, through the school of prayer, the school of meditating on the word, the school of the trials you go through, the temptations and everything, you grow and you become solid, and all of a sudden, this letter starts changing to somebody you know. And the person you know starts calling you my son. That's Christianity. Then he says, now you are no more a slave, meaning you live in this world, but you have overcome the control system of this culture. You don't base your success on the way the world. You don't depend on the limitations of your finance. You are no more limited by the things that limit human beings. Because now you have something working with you that is more supernatural. Amen? That's the first and basic level to find your identity back again. That was lost. Once you recover and you gain that identity, guess what? When the prodigal son came back home, amen? Now that you are a son, you remember? When he was called back, he's now back home. What did the father do? The father now clothed him again. Amen? God, once God becomes your father, my brothers and sisters, you don't have to be looking at the air or the wind. Anywhere you go, anywhere you are, his presence is there. Because you are a spirit. He's a spirit. There is no distance. You don't have to read Psalm 91 for 30 years to know that David was talking about not the flesh man. David was talking about the place he found when other Israels were trying to follow legalistic, kill animals and kill this and still going through rituals. David said, I found a place. And it's really a real person. And it's God. And this place I found is invisible. So it's secret to the physical man. And this place I found, it protects me. It provides for me. And the angels of heaven supervises my life. Psalms 91. In the Old Testament. Why the rest of the children of Israel were just playing? He discovered the heart of God. So, what Paul is saying here is, the moment you mature, from reading, from meditating and seeking, the growing process is when God starts becoming a reality to you. And a relationship is now developed. How many of you, can you believe the world is trying to create AI girlfriends and boyfriends? That's what some Christian people are. They have an AI God. You want a God that you don't have a relationship with? That is real, that you know? We don't need an artificial relationship. It's religion. That's why young people are tired of religion. Young people don't hate church. They just don't understand what they hate. It's religion. Religion is fake. And they don't like it. So now, when you find God and you have a relationship with him and you start praying, my Father, our Father. I used to pray before. I used to say, God, God. It's okay. You know, that there's a time for that. But there's something changed. I remember the first time when God called me son. It's like I didn't hear it very well. I didn't deserve it. I didn't feel. I was still looking at my humanity. I could not call God Father. I didn't deserve, I didn't even feel I could call him a Father. Until I understood it, the work of grace and mercy. Now that you are a son, Paul said, something changes. You begin to find out that as a son, you are in your Father's presence 24/7. You are in your Father's presence 24/7, because in the spirit there is no time. Time is only for the natural man. You're in your Father's presence. In the spirit, there is no distance. I wish I can explain that better to you. We've come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. A good example. Moses left here with these people, went up to the mountain here, and he faced God face to face. How about that? That was Mount Sinai. That was a physical Old Testament. Under the Old Testament law, Moses was able to encounter God face to face. In the New Testament, we are spirits. We now come to Mount Zion, where the veil has been torn, and we have direct access to God's presence through Christ. Is this what you want, or you just want to run around claiming that you're a Christian and doesn't really want to eat the meat of the kingdom? So, here are the benefits now. You've gone through these trials, you've gone through all this pain, all these trials, you know, and then Paul says the glory that comes after the trials is nothing to be compared. What is the glory? You now start experiencing God. You say, I saw thee. When you say it, you know the presence of God is there. I was going through a very difficult problem one time. Very bad. I didn't know what to do. I've tried my best. I've prayed. And the deadline was approaching. My wife knows about this. I was just crying. God is all I have. Just crying, God, to help. Nothing was coming through. And I was walking right into my into the bathroom one day, crossing that door to go to the bathroom. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I'm here for you. I have your back. That day, the problem was solved. Supernaturally. The generation we live in right now, brothers and sisters, you cannot survive living like a normal person. It's too corrupt. It's too wicked. It's too vile. There is no justice at any level. You need God. Really quick, the moment you get to know him as a father, you come to that maturity after all the trials. The next thing you begin to go into is you begin to experience his glory. And as you begin to experience his glory is from levels to levels to levels. Until you leave this world, you will just be in awe. Then, now that you enter into that revelation of Son and glory, then the next thing that comes with the glory and the sonship, God now starts letting you know you are wearing a ring, meaning you have the right to speak on behalf of the kingdom of God. Not to preach, not this. I'm talking about you have authority over spirits. Jesus said, I've given you power and authority, but it's later to us. We are still afraid of spirits. Because it's letter. But the moment it becomes a reality to you, you have power. You say, Jesus, that's it. They know you are a son. Then you know you have authority to use that name. I want to stop here briefly today. The reason God called Jeremiah was for all of us. Every one of you here, you are not here by mistake. God gave birth to you and made your parents, or through whichever way you came, a steward of your birth. You are God's children. And now God is saying, if you only know what I've prepared for you that your eyes can see, what I've prepared for you that your ears have not heard, you will wait on me. You will seek me. You will wait. You will study this Bible. You know what my will. You know, once you really, like you said, Joshua, meditate, you know this, your mind starts changing from that of the world's culture, and your mind starts changing to the Word of God. This thing can change your mind. From, like you go to school to become, from this person to a doctor, from this person to a lawyer, engineer, this thing can change you from a sinner, from a slave of sin, to anything, to become a righteous, a holy, and a bold woman of faith. The devil knows who you are. And the only way he can keep you from it is keep you from this. He knows as long as you are ignorant of this, he says you're still like a child and he's a slave. He used trials, he used temptation, he used many things just to drag you around and distract you and condemn you and push you up and push you down. When you are an heir, you have everything Jesus died for here, but you refuse to read it. There is no amount of preaching we preach here that can help. It can only provoke you. It can motivate you. It can challenge you. It can impact you. But it's the personal joining to meditate, to read, to wait that transforms you and puts you over things of the Spirit. There is no fast food in the kingdom of God. I'm sorry. It's all original. So after these 21 days of prayer and waiting on God, the Lord reminded me, everybody has a destiny. And God has called you heir. God wants you to be the best in your job place. He wants you to be the best in your job place. Not to compete for it, but to be honest, to have integrity, to have purpose, to be excellent. That's the example he has with Joseph, with Daniel. Daniel was so good at what he did. No matter what happened in his job place, they saw him to be the best. Because he was working as unto God and not to man. A lot of us are working for paycheck rather than working for God. Work for God. You will be better at your workplace. You'll be an example. You'll be a light. Your promotion is guaranteed. Because nobody will do it better than you. Because you're doing it for God. Even when people don't see, God sees. If you're working for paycheck, you just meet the requirements of man. My brothers and sisters, you are in the kingdom for this time. And God wants your life to make a difference. So after these 21 days of prayer and fasting, or waiting on God, God has opened a new level for everybody. He has impacted new levels to many of you. And the prayer I want to pray now is to release that awareness and that awakening of this new level. What I'm sharing should provoke, should impact you, awaken you to pursue your destiny in Christ. Amen. And then, I won't talk about myself. I know what God has dealt with me. But for every one of us here, can you just say, are you bold enough to say I'm an heir of God? I see you're not bored. Can you say, I am an heir of God? You are somebody. You are a VIP. As an heir, you deserve inheritance. All the promises of God are yes for us. So, in this new season, the Lord wants every one of us to arise from where we have been. That's why we sang that song. To arise, to get up from where we were and step into a new place of understanding your identity, the authority that comes with it, and fight for your spiritual rights. That's faith. Don't take no for an answer from the devil or from situations you're facing. Fight in prayer. Press in prayer. If you know something you want, you know something you're praying for, you're believing for, something you are trying to believe God for, or job, whatever it is, pray. Fight for it in prayer. Demand it to be so. Because you have a promise. Amen? Amen? This season we're entering, I want to tell you the truth. God is calling us. And this is what he spoke to me. It is time to rule again. Amen. It is time to be in authority again. And fight for it. Contend for it. Amen? So I want to let you know, you are kingdom VIPs. Very important people in the earth. And you're called here for such a time to make a difference. We will win the narratives. We will win the battle. Amen. Because he has already won. And Jesus will be exalted. All the things shaking that are coming will promote you. And will bless you. That I'm not preaching, I know that. Because believers who know themselves, they excel in times of crisis. Let's stand up together. Hallelujah. Are you a believer? The difference between a believer and a hearer is a hearer is not a doer. A believer is a doer. You do what you believe. Amen? Amen? So today I thank God for your life. As you leave this place, I pray you live with courage. You live encouraged. You live empowered. You live with a renewed identity. You live knowing the God that is your Father can take care of your problems. Nothing is impossible with him. And there is no way you are that he doesn't know. He is there for you. And he cares about you. Father, I thank you that in this season you have opened new realms of favor upon this house, upon your sons and daughters. I thank you, Father, that this favor you have released like fresh oil, like fresh fire, will rest upon their lives, will rest upon their head. Everyone, as they leave this place today, I pray that this favor will awaken them to a refreshing presence of your glory. Amen. Father, I thank you that where many cannot make it, because of your favor, they will jump over. Amen. They will climb over. They will walk over. Amen. They will excel. Amen. Because of your mercy. Amen. Father, I pray that you will distinguish these. Because they've received your word. You will distinguish them because they believe. I pray that you give them the boldness to obey you by faith. In the name of Jesus. Father, because of this favor, I ask, according to Psalms 126, give everyone a miracle. Let them taste of a true miracle in their lives. Let them prove you by faith as your children. And demand those expectations to be done. Amen. Father, I know you will answer. You will do it so that they have a testimony. They have an experience beyond the work of their eyes. Father, I pray in this new season, you will open the book of their destiny. Amen. Father, interrupt the worldly agenda that is programmed them without the awareness of what you have for them. Amen. I pray for Kairos moment in everyone's life. Amen. I pray for divine intervention. Amen. Divine interruption. Amen. Because your interruption is because of your divine promotion. Amen. Father, remember that you've written things to bless them. Amen. To cause them to inherit. Amen. For your mercy, do it. For your mercy, fulfill it. Amen. That your children will be known as vessels of mercy. Amen. Father, thank you. That because you are your children, I pray in this season, Psalms 91 will be a personal thing. Amen. It will be a personal prayer. Amen. I pray they will begin to pray it and put their names like we did this morning. Personalize it. And Father, every day they personalize it until your presence becomes a reality. Like the song says, your presence is heaven to me. Father, let heaven become a reality. Amen. In their closets, in their walk with you. Let them know every day the angels you've assigned around their lives are walking. As we leave this place today, let everyone live with a renewed confidence. Amen. They are the children of God. Amen. And as children, they have a peculiar answer when they call you by name. Amen. And they pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Father, as we leave here today, let your people know they have authority. Amen. They have dominion. Amen. Because you have given it through your name. Amen. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your impartation. Thank you for your awakening. I pray for revelation and understanding. I declare your peace and your blessing. And to you be all the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to look at somebody on your right or your leg, left or right, and tell them, don't forget who you are. Amen. God bless you.